to you. But it was a very, very, I guess, compelling. What do you say?
One of his other DVDs, basically, up in that series, it's called Indescribable.
That's what it was, indescribable.
And they would always say it was just like, just your little speck on a golf ball. That's it.
It was amazing. Yes.
Can the people pray for Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Paul and Lisa? Lisa. Okay. How about if let's pray right now. Pastor, would you pray for these folks? Lisa and Paul, and for Brother Paul? How old is Paul? 95? How old is Paul now?
95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's pray for these folks. Go ahead, Pastor.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to be able to come into your presence, because you fill the universe.
Yes.
We're never out of your presence. We thank you for being with us, sustaining our lives, providing for us, caring for us, loving us. And Father, you're calling your people home. We look forward to the time when we shall see you face to face, when we can stand in your presence and sing about your matchless, marvelous grace. And Father, we thank you that you care for people. We thank you that you have entrusted us with the power of prayer, that we can bring them before your throne when they're sick and infirm. And we have confidence that you are our great physician who is able to heal all of our diseases.
Yes.
And for these requests that have been made this morning, our heart goes out to you, Lord, that you would touch their bodies and give healing to them. Lengthen their days, that they may be a testimony here on this earth for you. Mm. We thank you especially for Paul, remembering the time when he came and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and was baptized. Mm. And we thank you that he's been living for you as a testimony of your goodness. Bless now. Let your power be demonstrated this morning in this preaching service. Let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and draw us close unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you'd all rise and turn over to 43. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can tell of your excellent greatness, Lord. All we have to do is tell the story about how you saved us, Lord, how you died on the cross and rose again, and fulfillment of the scriptures, Lord, that we may share that good news with others, Lord, and help us to be that witness unto the world, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for this morning that you've given us this opportunity, Lord, to come and to worship you, Lord. Help us to concentrate on what you have for us this day and give you all the praise and glory and honor, Lord. And again, we just pray for all these folks, Lord, for Lisa, for Paul, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord, and that you would help the doctors to give them the right treatment, the proper treatment to heal them, Lord, and that they may be a testimony for you, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you that we know that we can trust you. We know that we can go to you and you love us, Lord. And we just pray for our services this morning. We pray for the message that's brought. We pray for our brother Pooler, Lord, that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit and of what he will present to us this morning, Lord, will be from you, Lord. And we just thank you for this time, and just help us to just praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn over to 628. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I am believing and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I am believing and am persuaded persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Amen. This morning after the services, we're going to have a meeting for all the members of the church right after the services this morning. So if you would stay, please, if you're a member of the church. We have a couple of items to talk about this morning. Do we have a scripture reading this morning? Amen. We got two?
Good morning. Well, I thought I was. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathers iniquities to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Your technical difficulties. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, said they, cleaveth fast upon him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, my mind, yea, my own familiar friends, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, has lifted up his heels against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemies does not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen.
Okay, if everyone would rise, and we're going to turn over to 356. For our offering, we're going to sing Near to the Heart of God. And if the ushers would come at the end of the song to receive the offering, appreciate it. 356. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us awake before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us away before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us away before thee, near to the heart. Brother Roger, would you pray for us?
Our Father, please quiet our hearts today as Brother Poole opens up the bread of life to us. Hearts and minds will be attuned to your word. Lord, let us take that into our minds and hearts and glorify you. Lord, that everything is done today will be to glorify you.
Yes.
And thank you again for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. Amen. We thank you again for our missionaries that we support. Mm-hmm. Lord, continue to be with them, bless mm-hmm. them, watch over them. Also, Lord, we pray for our sick folk,
yes.
that they get better, and Lord, with those that are traveling, give them traveling mercies. And Lord, we thank you so much for the many blessings you give us. Thank you again for saving us and dying on the cross and shedding the blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Johnny, ready? Amen.
So, I wanted Brother Johnny to see that video because, as excited as he already is, I want to see him after that video.
Good morning, everyone. You know what? You know there's a drought in California. But see, only God knows how to fix that. But there's a drought, a spiritual drought in this country. Amen. Especially in the churches. Amen? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons why it's a spiritual drought. God got to take care of the rain. But two reasons why there's a spiritual drought in the churches. One is pride. Two, refusal to humble himself before God. That's why there's a spiritual drought.
Amen.
Pride is the number one thing. Everybody, you know, people think they're somebody. You're nobody in the eyes of God. We're lower than a worm. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll tell you something. Stop playing games. Because one day, the trumpet's going to blow. And all the chances are over. You can't say, wait a minute. It's going to be too late, my friend, because my Lord is going to get tired. My Heavenly Father is going to get tired, and he's going to look at his precious son and say, go get your church. I'm tired of man, rebellion, and sin. And my Lord is going to come in a twinkling of an eye. The trumpet's going to blow. The sky's going to burst open, and here come my Lord in all of his glory. Please. Get yourself ready. I'm ready because I hold up to my Lord. I'm going to humble myself continuously. Amen. Listen. troubles and times are here, filling men's heart with fear. Freedom we all dear, now is at stake. Humble in your heart to God, saved from the chastening rod, going where pilgrims trot, prisons away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. It could be very soon, trumpet with sound. Then all of the dead shall rise, the righteous meet in the sky, and going where no one die, heavenward bound. Now listen, trouble will soon be o'er, then happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all hell, then rising up in the sky and telling this world goodbye. Homeward I'm gonna fly, with glory to share. Jesus coming soon, morning or night, long as it will be very soon. Trumpet will sound, then all of the dead shall rise. The righteous be in the sky, going where no one die, heavenward abound. Now Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. Oh, not even been very soon. Trumpet will sound, then all of the dead shall rise. Christ is me in the sky, going where no one die, heavenward bound. You got to hold on to the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're going to be heavenward bound. Praise God. Hey, you know what? When that trumpet blows, I'm out of here. I ain't got time to say goodbye, say nothing. I'm gone. I'm going to be with my Lord. Praise God. I'm letting it go now.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. My Lord. One of these days. One of these days. I'm going to be a face to face.
Love your brethren, though. You got to love your brethren. That's how you know that you're Christ, is if you love the brethren. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Well, I mean, we've already had a good time this morning. We had a great Sunday school, and it was a blessing. So we'll just continue on praising God. We have Brother Pooler. Everybody knows Brother Pooler by now. So we're going to ask Brother Pooler to come and preach the word. Amen.
I hope they don't know everything about me.
It's a good thing they don't, because then I probably wouldn't get asked back every now and then. I'm made of the same mud that you're made of, and I'll tell you something, folks. Johnny, I'll tell you, I want to come down to preach more often just to come down and meet you, because... And I want to see, I may even have to leave that, because I want to see your joy and your excitement after a video like we saw this morning, because you're already filled. You'd be like bursting at the seams if that's possible. thanks for having me again. It's just a joy to be here, and I appreciate churches like this, because not once has anybody ever said anything about the length of a service or the preaching. That shows the love for the Word of God, and I appreciate that. Would you stand with me and turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, standing in honor and reverence of the infallible, inspired, reverent, holy, preserved Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, the Bible reads like this. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the people that are here to honor you and obey you, into not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. I pray that this next few moments, Lord, that you would fill me, your glory would fill this place, and that Christ would be seen and that man would be hidden, and that that which your Holy Spirit would shed upon the hearts of those people that are here today would take root and then grow within them. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to focus on the one part of the verse in chapter 3 that, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Today's message is the simplicity in Jesus Christ. Simplicity in Jesus Christ. Simplicity in its full definition is the state of being simple, free from complexity, unjustified claims, deceit, or guile. Or more simply put, not confusing, easy to understand. In the Marines, if there were too many leaders, or in any military branch of service, David would agree with this too. In any military branch of service, that the more leaders you put in charge, no matter, it always changed, the orders were often confusing. What Marines and sailors and soldiers want is orders that are simple to follow and understand, not requiring a lot of explanation or demonstration. So easily, so that they would not be misunderstood. And David, you know what the acronym KISS means, right? And most of you, even not in the military, would too. And my third graders would say that one of the words I'm going to say is a bad word, but only when you say that about people. KISS, the acronym KISS, is keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. Don't confuse me by saying all these extra things and make it easy for me to understand so that I can follow it with little to no explanation. Over the years, beginning with the introduction of computers, the term user-friendly became a catchphrase. And then we had touchscreen. I'm reminded of a picture of a gunnery sergeant with his hand that was pushed through the screen of a laptop. And then it said, and below it said, Gunny was trying to get used to the aspect of touchscreen. And it was the computers sometimes, they're not so user-friendly. It's not so simple to run. So anytime you create one of something, or one way of doing things, or one rule of thumb to follow in the absence of somebody to explain things, it makes it easier. It simplifies things. Every generation has been striving to make life easier and better, while at the same time keeping things simple. Technology has made things wonderful at times. But technology, in its all of its wonder, has sometimes made things a little more confusing, a little more hard. I mean, when you see, and I, the brother this morning, they had a technical difficulty. I haven't brought it with me yet, but I if I get to come down again, I keep saying that every time, and God blesses me with another time, so I'm going to say it again. If I get to come down again, somebody asked me a question, what I think about digital Bibles. And they're okay. I have one on my phone, too, for when I'm opening all my other, you know, books and stuff. And if I want to search for one word, it'll pop up the verse, but then I immediately turn to it in my Bible. I said, well, digital Bibles are okay. I said the Word of God is inspired, period. I said, and that somebody can get saved through reading a digital Bible or a written Bible. But I have a, but there's a top 10 list that God gave me. There's got to be a reason that the printed Bible is better than the digital Bible. And I sat down and God gave me 10 things that I listed. And one of the things was, you'll never hear said in a church, please silence your Bibles. And, you know, so you, that's just one of those things. So that I'll bring it with me the next time. But he had, and it's not no fault of the individual, but he's like, and I was like, I almost wanted to just hand him the Bible only because there is no technical difficulty with the Word of God. And no technical difficulty with this other than me not being able to find the page. So we have, it gets simpler when the Word of God reveals that life is simple in Christ. The Word of God says it. Paul writes it. It says that you should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simple. Christ is simple. And as all of his majesty and all of his glory and all of his Godhead, he dwelled within him in the fullness of the Godhead. It's simple. He's not that complex to understand. And he doesn't want it to be. So we're going to take a look at the simplicity that is in Christ. First of all, remember I said, anytime you can narrow things down to one, oneness is simple. One is an easy number. You can never forget it. So there's one God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Not God's plural, but God. God created the heaven and the earth. Deuteronomy 5:1 says, the Lord our God is one Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And in the beginning of that verse, he's talking to Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So then that applies to us today. Hear, O earth, the Lord God is one Lord. Hear, O church, the Lord your God is one Lord. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, and I'm going to turn to this one because I wanted to read this in its verbatim. Isaiah 45. Verse 6, the prophet Isaiah writes this, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah does that a number of times through his book where it says, there is none beside me, God says. I will do things, and who will let it? In other words, who will stop me from what I put in motion? The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Isaiah 45, verses 20 to 25 also go on to say this, assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. You catch that? I have sworn by myself. On the very character, on his very essence of his being, his majesty, his omnipotence, his holiness, his righteousness, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Apply that to the church. In the Lord, the church shall glory. Apply that to yourselves. Bring it down to the one concept again. Apply in David, in myself, I will glory in the Lord. Paul says that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. O wretched man that I am, Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? So there is nothing in me, Paul says, and in, I can say the same thing. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Apart from Christ, there is nothing good about David Poor. Nothing. So that and it's designed by that so that when I glory in anything, I will glory in Christ. It breaks it down to the one concept. I don't have to glory in many things of me or many things of my friends or family or my job or my abilities. I can glory in one thing, Christ. So there's one God. That's pretty simple, right? I don't have to worry about which God of the many people, the idols that they say are gods. God himself said that they go into idols that cannot save them. So I got the one God that can do everything, that can save me, that can protect me, that can keep me, and that can take me to heaven when I die. One God. So we can stick with that one concept, the simplicity that is in Christ, and go one Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says this. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. I don't have to find out which person do I go to. When I was a drill instructor, we had three drill instructors and then the senior drill instructor. Recruits would not know who to go. It was always, they needed to know which person was the one to go to before they jumped to the senior drill instructor. In the chain of command, you might have more, you might have a few leaders, but every Marine, every soldier, every sailor needs to know that there is one person to go to before the next person, or the next person, that I just don't go around. But it's nice to know one mediator, one person to go to. So here's your squad leader. Before you go to the platoon leader or the platoon sergeant, you got your squad leader. Got one person to go to. No other name, Acts 4:12, by any other name whereby we must be saved. There is one name given in the whole of earth whereby I, you, all of mankind must be saved by Jesus Christ. The mediator between God and man. I like it. I've said it before. He was all God. And oh man, he had to be 100% God and 100% man. Not 50-50, 100-100 with no mixture. Because only 100% man could understand me and my flesh being limited so that he could take my hand as man. And then 100% God, that all the fullness of the Godhead in him dwelt fully, completely, and not robbery from God to be equal with God, so he could take the hand of Almighty God and take the hand of sinful David Pooler and then join the two together. One mediator. One way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. The life, not a life. One sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 12. We won't read all of them, but I'm going to take the one that really is, but the whole context of it is this. Hebrews chapter 10, but then when you sit there, in verse chapter 4, for it is not possible, 10 verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away from sin. Then it goes down over to, verse 12. But this man, one man, Jesus, the mediator, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. One sacrifice. One mediator. One Savior. One gospel. His gospel. Paul even said it in our text, for in verse 4 of chapter 11. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or you accept another gospel. One Savior, one mediator, one gospel, one sacrifice. All that is under one Savior. One. The key word is one. Pretty simple, right? We don't have to go two, three, four. You know, when you have these outlines. One God, one Savior. Next, we have one instruction manual. And that instruction manual, by the way, has one author. So far, pretty simple, right? Very simple. There's only one. One God again, one Savior. Now we get into the instruction manual for how to know that one God, to how to meet that one Savior, and hear that one gospel, and accept that one sacrifice, is the one instruction manual with one author. John 16, verses 22 to 24, tells us how to have joy. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, tells us how to have peace, both with God and of God. And there are two different pieces, peace with God. You can't have peace of God until you have peace with God. And that is to be reconciled to God through salvation. Once you have peace with God and you are accepted in the Beloved and you have been made right with God, you get the peace of God. So that the peace of God is something you can lose. If you try to muddle things up with your way or my way or multiple things, then we're going to not have the peace of God. Or if we try to do things in the flesh, or we ignore things in the life of like prayer or reading on the Word of God, simplicity of God's will. People say, how can I know God's will? Well, it's in the one instruction manual. And it says it very simply in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Pretty simple will. He said, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anyone to perish and die in their sin. And that's why I made it pretty simple. How to get to me is one Savior, one sacrifice, one gospel. And the payment, you don't have to even pay it. One payment. John 3:16 is a very popular verse. Romans 5:8 is one of my favorite in the payment process. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we taught, and the Bible goes on to say that scarcely one would die for a good man. But it goes on, it ultimately says, but you know what? I don't know of anybody that would die for someone that was wicked and vile. You know, you might even consider dying for someone that was decent. You may even have a taker that says, yes, I'll do this for a good person. But you find someone that's wicked and vile, and then you say, John, Susie, Billy, would you pay the price for Hitler's sin? Would you pay the price and die in the place of Jeffrey Dahmer? Would you? I don't know of anybody that would say, yes, I'll die for that person. If we could, and if it made a difference for them. But Jesus said, even though David Pooler is a wretched, filthy, wicked sinner, I'll die for him. Father, I'll die. And I'll die for Billy and Bobby and Susie and all of mankind. In it while we were yet sinners. So you know what? I stand here a wicked and vile, rotten sinner, but we all are one. And you know, some songbooks that even wanted to take out such a worm as I, you know, at the cross where I first saw the light, in it is such a worm. So they want to say, and they even took out the word wretch in one of the songs. To me, it goes back to calling, when I talked to you a few sermons ago about confession. Confession. Not mincing words with what God and how God sees my sin. Someone on my Facebook page said that foul language should not ever cross a child of God's lips. And this was a preacher I know from Georgia. And I said, excuse me, in capital letters, but God doesn't call it foul language. Two times I've read so far, I can't remember the references, but I do know that one, God calls it filthy communication or wicked speech. And as I said before, it's not an affair. It's adultery. If someone came to me and I had someone say, you know, how's things going? Well, my girlfriend and I, we're living together. I said, no, you're not. He said, well, yeah, we are. I said, no, you're fornicating. He goes, well, we're not, no, it's not that. But yes, you are. Because if you're living together, and together means together, then you're fornicating. It's not an affair. So when you call your sin as God sees it, boy, I don't know about you, but if I ever, like I said before, if coming down the freeway today, if somebody had cut me off, and I said filthy communication, but it sounds so much easier for me to swallow if I say, dear God, I got to confess to you. It's an easy confession. I used bad language today, Father. If God could verbally talk to me, and sometimes I've actually felt it in my heart when I've had to confess that sin. and you know what? Don't stand up here and let I sometimes get fearful of being transparent to some people. But you know what? I just said something that you guys probably caught. When I've had to confess that sin. A preacher having to confess that sin? Oh, please. Max Lucado says, not one Christian in this world should ever, ever, ever be amazed at his or her ability to commit sin. Because given the right bait, aimed at the right weakness, at the right moment in your life, you or I are capable of committing the worst, in our eyes, atrocities of sin. After all, King David, in the line of the Savior, committed adultery and murder. Solomon loved many strange women and sacrificed unto other gods. So, the other day, this was just this past week. I was reading it about Israel, and I have stopped saying, when I read things about, and I'm in Ezekiel right now, and reading through my Bible in a year and a half, because I can't read for content. I just can't read for speed anymore. So that's why I don't do a Bible in a year. I'll say I'll read the Bible when it's done, but I will read it through. Just as long as I get through it. And in Ezekiel, you see so many times where God talks about Israel going away. I've stopped saying, how could Israel do that? I try never to say that anymore. Then one day I was praying and I talked to a brother of mine. And I said, when I was talking to him about my own time of backsliding and super spiritual drought, where I was totally away from God in my own things. And I said, you know, the biggest thing when Satan tries to get me on this, I say, it's not that, how could I have done that? How could I have done that? How could I have done that to you? And then I got up from my desk in my office in the house, and I walked into the bathroom to get a drink of water, and I looked in the mirror, and I had tears in my eyes and says, that's how. I am how I could do it. I choose to. There's three words that says why we sin. We choose to. Because Paul says, and Jesus, God said that we're no longer under bondage of sin. So we have one God, one Savior, one instruction manual. And by the way, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'll probably justify or explain what I'm saying. I believe the King James is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people today. So yes, I believe the King James is the inspired Bible. You know why? Because everyone says, well, no. It's not the original. Well, guess what? We've never had the originals. We've only had copies of the originals, and they were preserved to be inspired. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe God preserved the King James Bible to be His inspired from the actual uncorrupted text copies of the inspired originals, which makes this just as inspired. People sit there and say, well, yes, can God, well, so you're saying that God can't save somebody through the NIV or the NASB or the UCMJ? Yes, God could do that. But when you sit there, why you need one instruction manual is because if I read verses out of this book, out of the King James Bible, if you had an NIV or the Amplified or the Paraphrased, you'd get lost trying to follow me. It wouldn't be simple as we're talking about simplicity in Christ. We have one body, the local church. 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It's exciting, isn't it? One! I love it. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 8 talks about giving the gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, but one Spirit that gives you and I those diversities of gifts to be disseminated in the one body, so we can simply function the way God wants us to. We can be unified. That means that, and I'm going to say it because I don't think I have a problem in this church, but that's why that speaking in tongues today is not a spiritual gift the way they give it today. Because all the gifts that are given are supposed to edify the body. So that means if I were to speak in tongues, that you all better understand me, or somebody better be able to explain what I just said if it's the tongues that they believe today, because, or you don't get to be edified. You don't get to be built up. That's why the tongues that the Bible speaks of, number one, in all the instances of where tongues, the gift of, was used, number one, always the gospel was preached. Number two, they didn't need an interpreter because everybody knew it. The Holy Spirit was that one interpreter. And the result of the exercise of that gift, people got saved. God was glorified, not some person to say, whoa, that person's got the Spirit because listen to them talk in some unknown language. Not simple. All the gifts that God gives through that one Spirit is for the edification of that one body, for the glorification of that one Savior that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And lastly, we have one focus. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to see Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. You want to know how? He spends 12 chapters saying, this is vanity, this is vanity and vexation of spirit, this is vanity, all the things. And you know how he knew and why he could write that book? Because he tried them all. So before you think that preachers or pastors don't have a problem with sin, look at Song of Solomon, the preacher. He calls Ecclesiastes the preacher. 12:13, I'm sorry. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon has spent 11 and three quarters of a chapter of a book to explain some things about vanity and vexation of spirit. And he says, let me bring it down to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. One duty, one job, one responsibility, one focus. And that's to fear that God. And then it says, that, well, you say, well, there's not one, because it says, and keep his commandments. Well, let me clarify something. If you're fearing God, guess what's going to automatically happen? You're going to keep his commandments. You're going to have less sin to confess. One main focus, glorifying God. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of that one God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thine heart, with all thy strength. Amen. I'm working on a message of that, because there's three things: with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And there's three, they cover the three areas, I think, that we have struggled with. John 13:35, love the brethren. It's the single unifying mark that Jesus gives to let everybody know that the people in this church are followers of Christ. Amen. That you love one another. Because if you can't love one another, you're not going to get anything else right.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care whether it's how different you and I are. I mean, David and I, both of us, we're in different branches of service. The Navy, I'm in the Marine Corps. And people say, well, you used to be a Marine. There's no, when the Marine Corps, David, is there ever a retired Marine, or once you were ever a former Marine? No, there is no, it's always, because that's ingrained in me. But you know what? We can get along, why? Because we're members of the armed forces. Amen. We can trash talk each other, and we will. We will, of course we will. But you know what? And he'll attest to this. If I were ever in combat and I got shot, who do you think I'm calling for first? I know God's already there. I'm going to say, hey, where's that corpsman? Loving the brethren, it doesn't matter who we are. But we don't accept and tolerate sin, because Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. He talked about the body accepting and not judging the sin. And this is a sidebar from this. I'm going to throw it out there for free, so keep your wallets in your pocket, because you don't have to pay for this. And that is this. Those of you that are members in this church body, if your sin is ever found out by the body of Christ, oh, and the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Because either A, God's not going to bless this body if it's hidden sin, so it's got to be made known. Or B, God's going to just make it known and people are going to know. When you joined this church, you didn't put your name on a roll call roster that says, I'm a member of Bible Baptist Church in Chula Vista, California. When Pastor Wetzel was the pastor of this church, and whoever comes the pastor of this church next, you said, by saying, I want to be a member of this church, you are saying, in a sense, I am willing to subject myself, first of all, to the authority of that pastor, and should the need arise, and if the need arise, subject myself to the authority of the church body. So when someone comes and says, hey, well, if there was sin in my life at my church and my pastor knew about it, when I first got to Barstow, there was something. I brought my girlfriend with me from North Carolina. So my pastor knew that we were, and I'm not going to say, well, you know what, we weren't doing anything, but to the world and what the Bible calls it, it was fornicating, even if you're just living together, like I said, call it what it is. I couldn't join the church until I fixed it. There's only two ways of fixing it. Either she gets her own place, or we get married. And we couldn't get married. There were some things there. So bless God, if I want to join, they'll say I was a member of the church and they found this out. The pastor can come to me and say, David, you need to fix this. Hey, whoa, you know, nothing's going on and it's my private life. No, it's not. When you are a member of that one body, if I got to have knee surgery probably in the next few months, and don't you ever let that cause you to not call me down to preach, because I got a walker hanging up in the rafters of my garage already waiting for the day that if ever comes where I can't walk without it. And I'll stand here leaning up against the walker preaching the word of God. But right now the biggest pain is the one knee. But that one knee, that pain affects the whole body. It does. And I know, Pastor Wetzel, come on, you can tell me. You can pick out one pain that's pretty much your major pain, and it's affecting your whole body. Unity, mindset, one focus. So we have, now you know, when you read that verse in 2 Corinthians, the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now you know. What does it mean, simplicity in Christ? Well, we know it's one God. We know it's one Savior. One instruction manual with that one single whole inspiring author. The one body and the one focus. Remember this, you cannot get any simpler than one. Because zero is nothing. So one is simple. The Great Commission, we have one task, evangelize the world. That one focus. It could be said that not only the world seeks simplicity in life, but many Christians do as well. After all, we don't want things to be hard or complicated for us either. Oh, that Christians, oh, that children of God would see the simplicity that is right at their fingertips. Read this book. My granddaughter is 10 years old. She'll be 11 this August. I glory to God in that at fifth grade, she's reading at a 10th grade level. Do you want to know why she's reading at a 10th grade level? Because she read this book with Grandpa from the moment she could start reading out loud. Did she understand it? No. But did she read it? And now she's saying words that when I think I'm going to have to say, I'll have to sound that word out with her, she's saying it. Because she can read. If you can read this, the English teachers will tell you, if you can read the Bible. Have you ever read Shakespeare? Woo! That's why I like King James. Because once you get to understand this, the power that gives that the King James, that flowery poetic language that God allowed his word to be translated in so that it would have, if it didn't need any extra power, but sometimes, have you ever read a verse and think, whoa, man, the way that that's written, when you read it in other versions, well, that's good. But this, when you read it in the King James, boy, it seems to have so much more oomph and pizzazz. Simplicity, right at our fingertips, contained within a book that most people neglect. Even Christians, if we want others to see, we know where and how to obtain simplicity, then our lives need to show the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. How often do we pray? How often do we read this one book? How often do we exercise the faith that we have in that one almighty, all-powerful God? I'm telling you right now, that video needs to be seen by the whole. It could be a whole, it could be a morning service. Powerful, powerful. And yes, you can see such a worm as I, but you know what? Out of all the glorious, bright stars and awesomeness that God made, he looked through all of creation, and when you see the Canis Majoris, and when you see the Mosephus, and when you see that the earth, the size and the beauty of all the different galaxies, and you say, God looked through all of the things that he made and said, I'm going to have a relationship with man. Insignificant, little, puny, sinful man. I'm going to choose to have a relationship and associate with that creation. It would dispel all the anxiety. As a man, Christ showed us how to live. Simplicity it is in Christ, in that he relied on the same Holy Spirit we must. And I dare say that when life gets complicated and when simplicity seems to escape us, it is solely and wholly our own fault. For God has clearly revealed in his word the simplicity that is in Christ. I remember when I was a senior in high school, the last time really, 1982 was when I started to wander my own way out of because of an angry spirit. But in 1981, I wrote something in my yearbook. And a quote that was attributed to me as a senior was this: if God seems further away today than he was yesterday, guess who moved? Because God doesn't ever move. And that verse that says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Again, God doesn't move. It's when I draw nigh unto God, guess what is automatically happening? God is drawing nigh unto me. Simple. But yet we muddle it up and make it so complicated. Would you stand with me as we pray? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I've, as humbly as I can and as feebly as this mortal fleshly body can, I pray that your Holy Spirit has just empowered the word, has glorified you, O God, not this man, glorified the word, not who's speaking it. I pray, dear God, that you touch the hearts of the hearers, that, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus, they would get it right today. They would come and do business on an old-fashioned altar down here and ask Jesus to save them. And if they're saved here today, if there's anything that they have to get out of their lives or get straight with God, do it now in front of the church body, because that seems to sometimes carry so much more weight. And if we get home, we wait till later, things will distract us. And it won't be as simple as it is to do it right now. We'll give you the praise and glory for this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
491.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
How about Brother George, would you end our service in prayer, please?
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord God, for the power of your Holy Spirit being behind the preacher, Lord God, Pastor Fuller. Thank you, Lord God, for the power of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, thank you for your word that you have kept, preserved, inspired, and giving us a chance to have a copy of it, Lord God. Give us, Lord God, a chance to read.
Yes.
The lives of the saints, the Old Testament and the New. Thank you, Lord God, for the testimony of those people that you have used to tell us your principles and who you are and your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for this church. Thank you for reviving us, Lord God, in your own way. And,
yes.
And seeing and recognizing the things that we need as individuals.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, for your word being preached today. Bless the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.